We come to celebrate, we come to celebrate, we come to celebrate. Worship your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I chose not to turn any of the air on this morning. It was a little chilly. How many of you are a little warm? Brother Ron, could you take that pole and go around a couple of the air conditioner units and turn on the air? Thank God for the air conditioning. Amen. He knows how to cool us down when we're too hot, and he knows how to warm us up when we're too cold. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to be going with me to the book of Luke this morning. The book of Luke, chapter 10. The message this morning is kind of in a question. It says, are you celebrating your salvation? Are you celebrating your salvation? Luke chapter 10, give you a moment to find it. When you get to Luke 10, we're going to be looking at verses 17 through 20 this morning. Luke chapter 10. Why don't you stand for the reading of God's word? I want to call on the church to help me this morning. Would you stretch your hands towards me this morning and pray that God would give me strength in my voice and help me to deliver the message the way that God would have it delivered this morning. Let's go to him one more time in prayer. I'm going to stretch my hands towards you. If you're not well this morning, I'm going to believe that God's going back and forth, working in the congregation and blessing us right now. Father, I pray for those that are standing before you in the congregation of the house of worship. I pray this morning, Father, that if they're sore, if they're hurting, if they're sick this morning, Lord, that you would touch them and you would bless them and you would help them this morning. And Father, as my hand is stretched toward them, I receive their hands being stretched toward me. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we begin to believe for healing power in this place this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. While you're standing, let's read the text this morning. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse number 17, and I'm going to read down through verse number 24. And it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as the lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Then verse 21 says, and in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit, and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and to he to whom the Son will be revealed. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Father, one more time as we've read your word now. Father, we give you praise, honor, and glory. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are helping us in our spirit to receive this morning. You are drawing our heart's attention towards you now. And Father, may the Holy Spirit be the one who leads and guides us into the spirit of all truth. We give you our praise, our attention, and our ears and our hearts this morning. In the name of Jesus, and the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Are you celebrating your salvation? Let's talk about some celebrating events this morning. You know, when there's a brand new baby in the family, and for a certain period of time when a baby begins to just be part of the family, there's a lot of celebration that happens in the home. All the family comes and visits at the hospital, and you pass the infant around, and you just look upon the innocence of the face, and lots of celebration is there. They get a little bit older, and they begin to coo, and They begin to smile, and they smile and do these things, and more celebrating. Oh, did you see the little baby that was doing this and that? And they get a little bit older, and they begin to maybe say a word, or they begin to crawl, and we celebrate these little events. Then as we get older, we celebrate birthdays when the children are young. Put the candles on the cake, make a big deal out of it, bring in the family and friends and maybe a present or two and sing happy birthday and all those things. And we celebrate with balloons and we do those kinds of things. I was privileged enough this weekend to spend time with my wife. We celebrated 24 years of marriage. We had an anniversary that happens today. But you know, it doesn't become much of a celebration if you don't take time to reflect on what God has done. So we get a little bit older, and many of us might say, you know, let's set aside the birthday. I don't really want to celebrate that birthday. But do you realize that God has given you another year to live? It's worth celebrating. You're still here. You're still breathing. And you're still doing the things that God has called you to do. So I want to challenge you this morning to have a thought in your spirit about, you know, maybe you're 20 years down the road from your day of your salvation. Maybe you're even farther down the road of that. But remember when you were an infant in the Lord and the salvation was the day of celebration for you. The tears of sadness were wiped away. The burdens of the heart on that day of salvation began to part to the side. And even though life was still before you, you had a brand new smile and a different step in your walk. It's called celebrating. Have you ever went and cheered for a team in sports that nobody seemed to celebrate for that team? I mean, the bleachers were full of people that were just showing up because they bought a ticket, but nobody celebrates. What message that would send to the players on the field? But what about the team that might not play very good, but all of a sudden a group of people come into the stands and start celebrating every little thing that they do? I saw a movie one time as the kids were growing up. I won't remember the name, but it was about two young kids, and they were playing football. And they were just a ragtag team that got put together, and they started celebrating in a big way when they gained a yard on the field. They thought they scored a touchdown. You'd have thought they won the Super Bowl or whatever it was for them. But you got to learn to celebrate even the small breakthroughs in order that we not forget our salvation. Celebrating is a part of the church. Celebrating is something that Jesus was doing. Some of the words in your Bible that tell us to celebrate are words like rejoice, words like joy. You know, it's in the scriptures that it's okay to celebrate. And it's okay to have rejoicing. And even scripture says rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Why was Paul, somebody that put a list of the marks of serving God down in on the books and said, you know, I was a man shipwrecked more than once. I was a man beat more than once. I was a man abandoned, left for dead more than once. I was a man that was hungry more times than I wanted to count. I was a man that was forsaken and on and on and on. But he said, but yet I rejoice. What did he say? He was saying, out of everything else, I'm not celebrating all the victories of everybody else around me. But one thing I'm going to keep rejoicing over is I was blind and now I see. I was lost and now I'm found. It's like the little Bible parable that the children were watching this morning. You can find this in Luke chapter 15. There was three parables in Luke chapter 15. There was the lost sheep, there was the lost coin, and there was the lost son. And I know you know those, and if you've been to Sunday school and you've been in your words, you know those things. But I want to emphasize on something about rejoicing. There was a moment in each of those parables when it wasn't about the thing that was lost. It wasn't about the person absolutely looking, but it was an emphasis on rejoicing and not forgetting what you have when you're found again in the Lord. The woman that had the 10 coins and lost one, She didn't get around the crowd that day and say, look at my entire collection of coins. She was proud to show the one that was lost and said, I want you to rejoice with me. Rejoicing is contagious. Celebrating is spontaneous. And it's something that can break revival free in a church and a family. You know how depressing it is to walk into a home and everybody's down. How was your day? Terrible. How was your lunch? It was bad, burnt, overcooked, nasty. How did the people treat you outside? Well, my neighbor was mean to me. The dog bit me. The cat scratched me. Boy, you're laughing because some of you have had those days. I remember being a kid growing up, walking home from school, and I knew where the dogs were on the block. When every now and then when they got loose, I found out how fast I could run. I had a bad day. I was one of those kids that also had a bully that had an eye for me for some reason and knew the route that I would walk home. And sometimes I would have to find a new way home because I had a bad day. And it's a bad day when a bully's waiting on you. But it's a good day when you have salvation in your life. It's a good day when every pain and every sorrow and every rugged and crooked thing in your heart melts at the presence of God. It's a good day. So you know what? When it's bad outside, when it rains and you want it to be sunshining, when it snows and you want it to be warm, because we live in Illinois and we get a little bit of everything. And sometimes if you stay around long enough, the weather can change four or five times in the same day. So we have to learn to rejoice in not everything around us, but rejoice in our salvation this morning. I came to tell you this morning that I'm rejoicing in my salvation. I came by to tell you this morning that I want you to pick back up the celebrating of your rejoicing. Get the birthday candles back out on the day you got saved. Get those pictures back out of what you were like in this condition that Jesus found you. And no, you're not wanting to remember all the bad, but what God has done to you. He picked you up out of the miry clay. He planted your feet on the solid rock. He gave you a new life. He gave you a new vessel. He cleaned up the old and made everything new. Let's celebrate and sing to him a new song this morning. Well, Pastor, I've been serving the Lord for 30 plus years. Seems like the old same thing. You know what changes is when the celebration comes back home. So every once in a while they have these things called homecoming. And I think that's good when you get people together. And you come back together and you get with the people that help you celebrate. But I want us to have a homecoming of salvation in our spirit this morning and say, I want to come back and celebrate Jesus Christ in my life this morning. I want you to realize this morning that in Leviticus chapter 23, Moses heard from the Lord. And Moses was given instruction by God to celebrate something. In the seventh month, on the 10th day, it was called the Atonement. The Atonement was telling the people that something is being sacrificed and paying the price for your sin. And then there was something special that happened on the seventh month and the 10th day. Do you think God keeps track of days and months and weeks and years? He does. We keep track of our family's birthdays, our anniversaries, and on and on and on and on. There's some that I could point to, and they could probably just rattle a list off and tell us this date and that date about this person in their family and that friend of theirs. But Jesus had some things that he wanted us to do. And remember, in Leviticus chapter 23, Moses heard from the Lord and he said, there's a day of atonement that is set aside on the ninth day. You're giving in the sacrifice and you're preparing the atonement. But on the 10th day of the seventh month, it is to remind you of the Sabbath rest. And the Bible says, celebrate the Sabbath. Well, we keep the Sabbath. The Bible says keep the Sabbath and keep it holy. And we go through the church service and we set some time out to come to church. But are we celebrating when we come to the house of God? Are we celebrating that Jesus saved me? Jesus saved you, redeemed me of my sins, made me whole again, washed me through and through, and gave me something to celebrate? I think the problem with a lot of sinners in the world is they're looking at Christians and saying, Why are they even going? There's no more celebrating. There's no more joy. There's no more rejoicing in the house of God. I come in and I sit down and people all around me are just, you know, kind of humdrum and not really. But we are in the stadium of God's holy presence this morning. He told Moses when he began to look at the burning bush, he said, you're in a different place now. The presence of God is here. Take the shoes off your feet. The place where you stand is holy. When we come into this place this morning, we're not in a building anymore. We're not just sitting in a pew this morning. We're not just standing on a stage, but we're in the place where God has chose to dwell and meet with his people and say, today is a good day to celebrate. Today is a good day to rejoice in the Lord. Today is a good day to remember that I was lost, but now I'm found. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Getting back to our text this morning, Luke chapter 10. In the earlier part of that chapter, Jesus had sent 70 others out into this world. The Bible says he sent them forth. But he said this to them. He said, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're reading through this and you understand that wolves eat lambs, why would the Lord send a lamb into the midst of wolves? Well, the only way the Lord would send lambs into the midst of wolves, if the Lord was giving power to the lambs to overthrow and overcome the wolves. It's a story of David and Goliath. It's a story of a giant and a little lad. It's a lamb versus a wolf story. And Jesus said, when I send you forth, I'm sending you out as lambs. Lambs are always going out with an invitation of relationship. If a lamb showed up on your door this morning, you don't have to be afraid of it. It's not going to knock your door down. It's not going to attack you like a wild animal. It's just looking to make a friend this morning. And Jesus said, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. You are my people to send the message of peace. It's going to cause rejoicing when it gets a hold of people, when they've been hearing all the rules and regulations and the do's and the don'ts. I send a brand new message of peace out to them that in my name you can have peace. In my name you can have victory. So right away, Jesus says something spiritual that we'll miss. Because if we write the story, we're going to find out what eats the wolf and make you and I something greater than a wolf. But Jesus says, I don't do it that way. I make you lambs and I send you out among the wolves. And the message of the story is the same way that I was with David, and when he had to fight the bear and he had to fight the lion and he stood before the giant, is the same way my lambs will gain victory over the wolves and the spirits of the enemy. Praise God. You ought to celebrate. How much celebration if we were gathered this morning, and I'm not going to do this. I don't believe in destroying animals. I don't believe in being mean to animals. But if I had a lamb on one side and a wolf on the other, and I rang a bell and we watched the lamb beat the wolf, how many would you celebrate with me and say, look at what that lamb did. Look at what that lamb did. He overpowered that wolf. He was the one that God used to win. We got to get excited. We're lambs, but lambs of power in the Lord. We are lambs. We are going out as peaceful keepers in the land of the Lord, saying, take this message of peace. A wolf is only coming. A wolf is only coming after to consume. Religious leaders only want to consume you. False religions only want to control you. Things that don't bring the message of peace only want to destroy you. There is only one real, true religion, and it is the gospel of Jesus. Not the name of this church, not the name of another church, but the gospel of Jesus. The only peace, the only mediator, the only one that was slain on Calvary, the only one that has the right and the way to forgive us of our sins is a lamb that went before Calvary and was slain for us. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to celebrate your salvation this morning, because what the devil wants you to believe is The wolf is stronger than the lamb, but Jesus says, I have confidence in my lambs. I'm giving you the power. I'm sending you forth, and you can conquer and overcome the lambs. Church, you can overcome the wolves in your lives. Celebrate it. You're a lamb, and God says the lambs win. The lambs overcome the wolves. But here they come, this 70 that was sent out. What were they sent out to do? They were sent out to tell the gospel of Jesus. And the Bible says they went about and they were also healing the sick. And they found out while they were out there that there was this thing that happened. They found out that all the demons and the devils were subject through the name of Jesus. I want to pause a minute and say, through the name of Jesus, you can get your ministry dreamt up and jump started and say, I'm going out in the streets and in the name of Jesus going to cast out every demon and devil. But there's a difference in doing that and a ministry that stands up and says, through the blood of Jesus, demons got to be subject. Through the Lamb of God, through the Word of God. You need His Word. You need His anointing. You need His Holy Ghost. If you're going to be a powerful ministry that sets people free of demonic and evil spirits, don't you just use and borrow the name of Jesus. It's not a borrow condition. It's a through situation. Jesus has got to be on the inside before Jesus is going to be released on the outside. And we need ministries raised up that say through Jesus, through His blood, through His Word. If you go through something, you are in the midst of it. You don't say, I was in the name of that mountain. You say, I was through that mountain. You got to go through it. You got to go through Genesis, through Revelations. Go through His Word. You got to go through the cross of Calvary. You got to go through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You got to go through the water baptism and symbolization that says, I've died to flesh and risen again to the power that lives within me in the name of Jesus. You got to go through these things. They came back excited. This is an excited, exuberant. I can just imagine. I want you to get that picture in your head about a lamb telling the story of how they beat a wolf up. And here comes the 70 back. They're just a loud bunch of people coming back unto Jesus. Hey, Jesus, we're coming back. And guess what? Oh, it was a big event. It was a big time out there. We saw all the demons that were subject through your name. And they were just moving left and right and running scared. It was a big fun thing, Lord Jesus. Jesus said, it's great to celebrate. He said, I'll tell you what I saw. I was there. I beheld Satan when he fell as lightning from heaven. I was there when the prince of darkness was expelled. I was there when the father of lies could not even have his way in heaven evermore, any again. I was there when the deceiver of the Garden of Eden was moving in on the territory. You might have had a demon move. You might have had a devil run, but I saw Satan fall as lightning out of the heavens. I'm telling you that I've seen the biggest and the baddest go down. I'm in my presence and in my name, in Jesus' name, not even the devil can stand up. Not even any of his imps or demons or any evil spirit at all can stand in the name of Jesus. He's just celebrating right back with them. They're excited. This is an excited bunch of people. This is what you want to see come in the house of God, just running through the door saying, oh my, you ought to have seen what happened this week. The devil was on the run. Hallelujah. I got the shotgun of the Word of God. I hit him a couple of times. I was chasing things out of my family. I was doing this and that. I was on my prayer knees. I was on my prayer bed. Hallelujah. And I'm rejoicing. Church, I was sick over the weekend, but I'm rejoicing that God put my voice back in time to preach another message, and I feel revived and renewed in the presence of God this morning. Hallelujah. The enemy might have come like a wolf, but I'm coming back as a lamb this morning and saying peace and glory unto His name this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Smiles are starting to break out on faces this morning. You're realizing you're a lamb and lambs are winners. Hallelujah. Don't believe the enemy is going to make lamb chops out of you. You're going to make wolf chops out of him. That's a new word. Write that one down. It might be somewhere in the Bible, but I haven't found it yet. It feels anointed, though. Let me say that again. The devil's not going to make lamb chops out of you. You're going to make wolf chops out of him. Well, just pray. Keep praying. I asked you to pray for me. You're going to have to help me keep going. Jesus is seeing the celebration of the joy that's on this group of 70. But he's starting to turn the focus. And he says, you know what? I saw Satan fall. The leader of sin, I watched him fall. The prince of darkness, I watched him fall. The father of lies, I watched him fall. The deceiver of nations, I watched him fall. Jesus has seen every fall that the enemy's ever had. Do you know there's going to be another great fall for him? He's going to be falling into the bottomless pit. But Jesus begins to capture the excitement and the joy and the celebration, and he says this to them. He says, behold, I give you something. I give unto you power to tread. That hit my spirit when I began to look in the scriptures. Power to tread. Power to tread. Power to tread. How many has ever been in water and you just treaded water? You just did enough. You were treading the water. You were keeping up. You were staying above water. The Bible tells us they're scorpions. They're serpents. See what happens in our church? This is how we celebrate. Somebody sees a great thing happen in the altar. That service, pow, we celebrate. But then as the week goes on, we forget that Jesus says, I've given you power to tread. We know how to get excited when Aunt so-and-so finally repents. We know how to get excited when little so-and-so comes back to the Lord and gets their life right and begins to get out of things. But what about the day-to-day things when the Lord says, you're still a lamb during the week, I'm still sending you out there, and I've given you power to tread. One scorpion's going to come, but just keep treading. Here comes another serpent, but just keep treading. Here comes the bad stuff, but keep treading. I've given you the power. See, it's different than when you and I are stuck out in the water somewhere. Sooner or later, we lose our strength, and we can't tread anymore. But if the church of the living God has got to tread through the last days. Oh, hallelujah. Don't lose your treading power. Just know that serpents are coming. Scorpions are coming, but the power's in the name of Jesus, and we can still tread on them today. Get your shoes and put the traction back on them. Begin to worship and rejoice. He's telling them, you know, what he's doing is he's encouraging them. Hey, you came back this time. Last week was a great service. There might be some more scorpions. There might be some more serpents on the next time we get together, and it might be a tough service. It might be one of those treading on the serpent and the scorpion kind of service. You know what I'm talking about. When it seems hard to sing a song, when it seems hard to preach a message, when it seems hard to get the Spirit of God broke loose, but if one on this side and one on that side will just begin to tread and say, I've been given the power in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, begin to get your feet dirty in the mud of this earth again and say, but I've got power in my left foot. I've got power in my right foot. And if that scorpion shows his head, I'm going to tread that one. And if the serpent shows his head, I'm going to trample that one. And I'm not going to get tired as long as I'm in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You mean, Pastor, sometimes revival is going to come by way of treading? Yes. Breakthrough is going to come by determination to be a treader and to tread on them scorpions and serpents. And Jesus is saying, keep rejoicing, saints of God, keep rejoicing. I'm not going to steal your joy. I don't want you to get deflated. I don't want you to get flat. I don't want you to think I'm against your celebrating. But he says to them, I'm giving you something. I'm giving you power to tread on them serpents and scorpions that's coming after the things of God. He goes on and he says, I'm giving you power over all the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. But he says something in verse 20. that brings us back to the message this morning. Are you celebrating your salvation? Listen what Jesus says in verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. He's not killing rejoicing. He's not shutting down the spirit of shout. He's not doing away with the spirit of run. He's not telling them quiet down. You know, he's not saying, now listen, disciples. You know, if you're going to be Christians, now you're going to have to be dignified. You're going to have to sit proper in the bench. You're going to have to make sure that your clothes don't get messed up. Now, I don't want you, breaking loose in the spirit and running or anything like that. I want you to be proper. He's not telling them that. He's not telling them, I don't want you to rejoice. But he goes on and he says this. He says, you don't stand on the victories of the enemy. You stand on the victory of sin that was conquered in your life, where your name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Heaven, and we become a church too often that would rather celebrate a victory when it seems like somebody's getting prayed through and the Holy Ghost begins to break out. But then when we find out somebody's life got saved, we just kind of... The bigger celebration is when your name's written down in heaven. He told the disciples. He told them. He said, if you lose your celebration of joy, knowing that your name is written down in heaven, then you're going to end up losing the strength of your life, which the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Church, I'm not knocking it. I want to celebrate big when I see any move of God in the church. You know in my heart that if the Spirit moves, I want to be where the Spirit's moving. You know in my spirit that I want to rejoice with you. I love it, church, when somebody gets something broke through during the week and they call me. I had some not long ago, maybe a week ago, call me. And at first they were crying and I thought, oh my, what has happened now? But it was tears of joy because God had done something miraculous in their life. And I said, you know what? I love to get those phone calls because I want to rejoice with you over the victory. If it seems small to some, it's big to God. But we've got to celebrate together over our salvation and brush off the cake and the birthday candles and say, I remember when I was 8 years old and I got saved and God delivered me and set me free, and don't let the fire go out on the salvation of your spirit. He said, I love this rejoicing. I love the house of God when it's rejoicing. But you can't stand on the rejoicing of the victory of the enemy. You have to stand on the victory of sin being removed from your life. And he says, this is how we encourage one another. Remind us that he said if he goes, he'll come again. And where he went to prepare a place for you and I, we'll dwell there with him. We're to encourage one another with that. And so the next time we get celebrating and we get happy over something that's great going on in the church, don't put the celebration fire out, but bring it back to focus and say, but now, just as hard as ever, let's celebrate our salvation of Jesus Christ together. You're saints. We ought to come into God's house and just say, here's a saint. Here's a saint. Here's a saint. Your name's in heaven. My name's in heaven. It ought to make us run. It ought to make us shout. It ought to make us jump. It ought to make us sing. It ought to make us worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't come to shut down celebration. He said, I want you to know how to celebrate. How many years have you been saved? Has your salvation lost its celebration? The woman with the coins all meant something to her. She didn't lose her celebration spirit. And when the last one was found, she went back and told all of her friends, this is revival. I'm excited to be in the house of God today. This is Sunday, September 16th. How do I know that? Because I'd be in trouble if I forgot that day. but I'm celebrating my salvation in the Lord with you this morning. I'm celebrating Jesus with you this morning. I'm going to close with a passage of Scripture from 1 Samuel. If you'll accept the homework this week, I want you to read 1 Samuel chapter 1. And then I'm going to share with you a little of chapter 2 this morning. Let's get real personal about our salvation this morning. Many of us, if not all of us, know the first and most important part of salvation is that our sins be forgiven and our name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But let me tell you about the salvation of the Lord. The condition of your life when you find salvation, more times than not, is your life is a mess. My life was a mess when I came back to the Lord. I found the Lord was filled with the Holy Spirit about age 8. And then life beat against me for the next several years. Had a medical, physical condition that was affecting my heart. A lot of family things that fell apart. Different types of abuse that I went through that I won't talk about in public this way. Fear, anxiety, and worry. By the age of 16, I had decided that I wasn't going to stick around for any more of this salvation of the Lord. Because what I needed was not just my sins forgiven, I needed a salvation that delivered me from pain. The thing that was destroying my life. This picture of Hannah in the Bible shows us how what sin does to us. It shows an enemy spirit that tries its best to destroy us to the uttermost. In the days of Hannah, a woman unable to give a child was about as lonely of a life as you could have. Her greatest need was to have a womb that would receive child. Here's what she said when salvation showed up in her life. Chapter 2, verse number 1. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies." Right there is the lamb's mouth taking over the wolf. And when the wolf is always louder, and when the wolf is always has a greater mouth, here's the Lamb of God. The picture of salvation for you and me this morning. She said, "My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies." And she said, "Because I rejoice in my salvation, in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." She gave the message of rejoicing and celebrating in salvation. She said, her husband asked her one time, he said, "Don't I give you more and take care of you more? Ain't I giving you the best of life?" And she said, "But there's something you can't satisfy. There's something about the salvation of Jesus that cannot be replaced. And when you get real salvation, you have to celebrate. You have to rejoice and say, when the enemy was destroying me, I am able to open my mouth now, and I'm wider than my enemies this morning." If you need a scripture that says God wants me to have a big mouth, you found one. Praise the Lord. Now everybody's praying for me again. I got you to pray for me 3 different times today. Put on some altar music, please. Celebrate. Celebrate your salvation. Church, we got a lot to celebrate. Oh, there's pain on every side. Just bow your heads with me this morning. Nobody has to tell you there's heartaches in this life. But if you'll find Jesus, you'll have always one thing greater than all things to celebrate. Maybe nobody comes to your birthday parties anymore. Maybe you don't have anybody to celebrate an anniversary with. Maybe your friends have all moved out of town. Maybe your mom and your dad have passed away to glory. Maybe your kids have moved out, moved away, don't come back and visit much. You still got something to celebrate. But I had a cold. I wanted to relax. And I did. But just about 1-2 o'clock every morning while I was gone, I was coughing so bad I had to get up. I'll be honest, I was asking the Lord, you know, this is a planned time to get away. You knew that I needed some rest. So do you. I'm not trying to make this all about me. You've had those places. I got a little bit frustrated. I mean, when you make all the plans, you take the time off work and you set everything up and you just want to get some time to relax. This is where he birthed this message in my spirit. I was sitting. And he asked me that question. He said, "Have you lost your celebration over salvation?" That's where this message came from. And I had to say to the Lord, I want to celebrate my salvation. I want to celebrate it. I don't want to just say I have it. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed this morning, first prayer. You got to have a reason to celebrate. This is this invitation right here. I don't have Jesus in my heart right now, Pastor. I absolutely don't have anything to celebrate. I don't think my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life yet. If that's you this morning, I've got good news. Jesus is ready to celebrate over your salvation. All of heaven is standing by right now, giving special attention to any heart that will give their life to Jesus this morning. Oh, maybe the person next to you might not celebrate in a big way, but the Bible says heaven does. So I'm going to ask this first question this morning. If you're here and you don't know Jesus in this way, and you want salvation, so that you'll always have something to rejoice and celebrate, to know your names in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'm going to give a 3 count. See, this is by faith. It's not by mimic or repeat. It has to be your heart. It has to be your obedience. I'm just simply giving a command. 3 is the place of faith for you. And you're going to have to do something. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. The Bible says that if you and I confess him before men, he'll confess our sins before the Father. But if we deny him before men, he'll deny us. So we have to make some type of public declaration by faith. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to work upon every age. I won't question the age of anybody, whether or not they're ready for salvation. God knows your heart. I'm going to count to 3. Then I want you to lift up your hand. 1. 2. Don't let nothing hold you back. 3. Let me see your hands lifted. I want Jesus. I want salvation. I want him in my life. Hallelujah. Church, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I want something to celebrate. I need you in my heart. Forgive me of all my sin. Wash me. Put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, whether you prayed that with me or you prayed it for salvation, I want this congregation to give the Lord a hand clap of praise, celebrating the prayer of salvation. Let's stand all across the church. Here's our closing prayer. You and God know this. The question, are you celebrating your salvation? Let the Holy Spirit do a work on the inside. If you're celebrating it, you're like the 70 coming back. They came back rejoicing. Come back to church rejoicing. Come to Bible study rejoicing. Come to the church functions rejoicing. Come to the church work days rejoicing. Be busy about not your business, my business, but the Father's business. This is how we know if we're celebrating. Make it a celebration every time you come. I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray. Father, don't let us be found not celebrating. People know the difference of a real heart of celebration. Nobody likes just giving a certificate to somebody and say, there you go, congratulations. But they like it when the heart is attached and says, oh, I'm so proud of you. I'm so thankful that you were able to do that. I'm watching you. Lord, you see your children this morning standing on their feet worshiping you. And you know our hearts. God, if we've not been celebrating our salvation lately, if we've been letting it drag a little bit, if we've thought, you know, I just haven't seen no more power in the church like I once did, let's not celebrate over the victory over the enemy. Let's begin to stand. Let's begin to stand on the celebration of our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We should celebrate that every service, every day. Every day that I live, I am blessed. I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, I lay my head to rest. What is that saying? My salvation is there. My salvation is there. It's worth getting up in the morning. It's worth working through the day. It's worth not giving up when the doctor says you ought to give up. It's worth celebrating. I've still got my salvation. I've still got my salvation. Paul and Silas were singing not because they decided they needed a hymn song for the hour, but they said, I've still got my salvation. I've got prison. I've got chains. I've got bondage, but I've still got my salvation. I've still got my salvation. Somebody asked you, how's the church doing? Well, there might be some rough spots, but tell them in a celebration way, but I still got my salvation. But the church is still celebrating. But the children of God are still rejoicing. But we still have a heart of worship. But we still have this and we still have that in the things of God. I'm rejoicing in him. Come back tonight. Rejoice with us again at 6 o'clock. Bible study starts at 7. Prayer and praise on Wednesday night starts at 6 o'clock. God bless each of you. You are dismissed this morning.